turn to 1 Kings 17 ish. They're just we're not doing a study in here tonight. They're just a few events in Elijah's life that we'll be looking at, that for the sake of tonight, I hope will encourage us. We've already been introduced to Elijah and how he was, in his boldness, confronting Ahab and Jezebel. We got to the widow of Zarephath, but right after that, in verse 17, we read that the son of this woman became ill, and there was no breath left in him, and he died. The woman, of course, was grieved. And Elijah says, "Give me your son." And he took him from her arms, carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged, and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourned by killing her son." And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, "Lord, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. We go into the next chapter, and we have a confrontation with the prophets of Baal. I don't want to preach ahead of myself. I think most of us would be familiar with the story. But Elijah's believing God for a supernatural miracle. In verse 30, Elijah said to the people, after Baal didn't answer the 450 prophets that prayed, Elijah prayed to the people and sent, "Come here." All the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down, and he took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be your name." And he built the altar, and he put wood in order, verse 33. And he cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said, "Fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood." And he did it a second time, and he did it a third time. And water ran around the altar and filled the trench also with water. At the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, "O Lord, O God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, that I have done these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back." And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." Moving further into the chapter, after 3.5 years of drought and famine as a result of the drought, Elijah said to the king, "Go up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of rushing of rain." And Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself down on the earth, and he put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, "Go up now and look toward the sea." He went up, and he said, "There is nothing." He said, "Go again 7 times." And the 7th time he said, "Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea." He said, go say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down lest the rain stop you. There's some faith. And in a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garment and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. James chapter 5. Beginning with verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain for 3 years and 6 months. It did not rain on the earth, and then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. First Kings, we kind of have a lot of activity happening really quick in the story of Elijah and these incredible miracles that are taking place, raising the dead, fire from heaven that burnt up not just the offering but the stone and the dirt and the water. And we have him praying again for rain to come, and the heavens opened and floods rise in the wilderness. And you look at somebody like Elijah and consider his life and his ministry, and we kind of stand back. We tell stories about Elijah, powerful prophet of God. We read there, God heard his voice. He heard his prayer. And God answered that prayer in power. And sometimes we look at Bible characters, and sometimes we look at historical figures, great men and women of faith. Sometimes we look around us in a room and we see men and women of God that we admire and are jealous of in a good, godly way. The walk that they have with God and the fellowship they have with God. And we put people maybe in classes that there are some that are up here and then there's the rest of us. I'm encouraged that God has given us in his word a very fair picture of men and women that he used in great ways. That he never really has puffed up anybody. We see a lot of mess. We see a lot of sin. We see men and women that are just undone, and God uses them. And here in James, we're told very plainly that Elijah was no different than any of us. And it's hard to imagine when you read stories like that. But God says, same. Same. We're going to read the next chapter, probably Sunday night. And we see a man who's discouraged, depressed, frustrated, questioning God. But God answered prayer, fervent prayer that is effectual because of a heart that was after God. I know this room is full of people that have a heart for God, a room full of people that have faith in God. And I believe that when we come tonight, maybe in very simple ways, not dramatic like we just read, but in simple faith and simple prayers, God hears those prayers and he honors those prayers and he answers those prayers. And I think we just need to be encouraged a little bit by the word of God tonight. It says, when we come, he hears. When we cry out to him, he answers. And even if we come with little faith, the little faith in a big God moves mountains. And so Elijah asks big. He asks some big things. It was like he just believed God could do it. I mean, you take a dead child and believe that God can raise him. That's pretty big faith. I don't know if it gets bigger than that. And I think God is honored when we come and ask for big things. Amen. There have been times in my life where people have asked big things of me. Things that I didn't think I was qualified or capable of doing. Whether it was in ministry and opportunities that I was given that I felt so inadequate. Whether it was back in the day when I played sports, believe it or not. Where's John Andriak? He's not here. I was offended at dinner tonight. I'm sitting right next to Brother Gary, and John comes over to the table and looks right past me and says, "You want to play some basketball tonight?" And I looked around. I said, "You're not going to ask me to play?" And it was a joke. And he knew it. But there was a time I could play, and there were times in the course of playing sports that somebody would throw a pass or give you an open shot or expect something big out of you. And I wasn't that good. I mean, I played everything. I could hold my own, but there were times I thought, "You really thought I was going to make that play?" But I was kind of proud that you thought I could, that you asked that big of me, that you had that kind of faith in me. And I believe God is honored. I believe he is worshiped when we come to him and say, "God, this to me and to everybody around me just looks impossible. There is no earthly way, but I'm asking you because I believe you can." And I believe that's an act of worship. When we say, "God, there is nothing too difficult for you," we believe that tonight. And I think maybe there are some things here tonight that God would be blessed if we just asked really big. Maybe some things that you've never asked at all. It's been there. It's a mountain in your life. And you just haven't even had the audacity to ask God. Maybe some things that you used to ask and the answer that you're praying for hasn't come. And you've just shelved it. You've just sort of accepted it. I've prayed and God didn't answer. And maybe it's not his will. And maybe he spoke that to your heart and God, and that's your answer. But I think a lot of times we just forget things because we get weary of asking, and maybe our faith is weakened over time. And maybe God wants to resurrect that in us again and say, "You know what, that thing that you thought I wouldn't do, or maybe you even came to a place where you believed I couldn't do, ask me again. Ask big. Believe me for things that are beyond even your imagination." And so, with all of our frailty and nature, that we think is unworthy of coming to God to ask, and it is. God still invites us, and we're still encouraged to know that Elijah had the same struggles and the same nature, the same shortcomings and the same sin battles, and God heard him. And so we come tonight with simple faith, asking big, believing God can and will. Amen. Amen.